of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep. But becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. And they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody want to take a guess as to which saint has more things, more parishes, more shrines, more cities, more places named after them than any other? Good guess.
Our bodies themselves will be changed, which is why
strain our physical appetites. So not eating all the things we want, not drinking all the things we want, not doing all the other things with our body we want to. For now, being able to say no to ourselves now, physically, allows us to be able to say yes to God's grace as it fills us up physically later on. St. Patrick is a really good example of this. The church keeps saints' days in different ways. It has historically. Of course, there are the festivals we celebrate at home and family and friends. A lot of us yesterday were downtown for the parade or the Friendly Sons party at Marriott. Sometimes Georgetown, we have all those. I don't know how it happens, but that was a joke for the insiders. But that's only a part of it. The church also keeps saints' days by the prayers that we say at church and the saints that are commemorated at the altar. Now, when Saints' Day falls on Sunday, like today, we don't really keep the feast. Sunday is more important. The Lord is more important than any of the saints, and that's as it should be. But the saint of the day can still guide us, teach us something about what's happening. And I think St. Patrick is especially equipped to teach us about the mystery of the Transfiguration, the mystery of Holy Lent, precisely because of the mountains. Now, most of us here were flatlanders. We were born and raised on the plains, whether between the two rivers or not. And while there are some lovely bluffs over along the Mississippi, less so along the Missouri, there's nothing like the Rockies, the Smokies, the Blue Ridge. Certainly nothing like Mount Tabor or Mount Sinai. But mountains are really important in the biblical imagination. They're really important in the story of salvation because most of the important things that happen on mountains. Abraham receives this call on the plain at the foot of a mountain. Come out and count stars in the sky. Moses receives the law on a mountain after he has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord, of course, is driven out into the desert, into the wilderness. And when he gathers his disciples, he carries them up the mountain where he's transfigured in their sight. At the end, the Lord ascends off the top of a mountain. Mountains are places where we go to meet God. And it's not hard to see. They're physically, they're up, they're drawing our attention upwards. In the sacristy for Mass, I've put up some cards to help the servers and the deacons that I pray before the Mass begins. And we pray Psalm 43, which is the old prayers at the front of the altar, which the priest used to say just as Mass began. Sometimes you'll see me murmuring it as I come up the aisle as we haven't said it in the back. It's the prayer that the priests of the temple used to say as they processed in for the service. Why? What does it say? I will go unto the altar of God, even unto the God of my joy and my gladness. You have sentenced with me, O God, against me, and God with me. Judge me. Judge me. With all I got. Judge me. Carry me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling. It's not an accident that altars are built up on stairs. That's why the churches that we built after the council were round and had the altar down below their suit, their architecture without. This is meant to draw your attention upwards. Why? Because God lives in the sky? No. But because as we're drawn upwards, we're physically opened up. And when we're physically opened up, we're spiritually opened up. And when we're spiritually opened up, the grace of God can come inside. The Holy Mountain, of course, is Jerusalem, Mount Zion, where the temple was in Jerusalem. That temple is now gone, but the temple which remains is Christ's presence, which we celebrate on the altar. The very word altar, you speak any other Romance language, altar, means up, hyphens, tall. So God's trying to draw us up. And it's there on the mountain of the Transfiguration that Christ makes himself known to his disciples. 400 years or so, 350, after the events of Christ's death and resurrection, there was a kid, a teenager from England, who got kidnapped by pirates and sold into slavery in the northeast of Ireland. And his name was Patrick. And Patrick lived as a sheep and swineherd. He kept animals in the mountains outside of Sweet Lemon. And he lived out there for 6 years in almost total isolation. Nothing but him and the animals to keep him company. He was raised in the faith but had taken it very seriously. And left out there by himself with no friends and no family and no church and nothing else to go on, he found himself drawn up. He found himself spending his days and nights in prayer. Caught so up in relationship with God, that relationship which he let fallow, go abandoned for so long, that one day, finally, like Abraham, he heard a voice. Something stirred from deep inside him, and that voice called him to go. There's a ship waiting. And lo and behold, there was. And he was able to escape his slavery and travel back to England to be reunited with his family. It was long after back home that the voice came again and called them to enter monasticism, to come up. Why? He'd been living the life of a monk those years out on the mountain. He had encountered the Lord, transfigured, changed, up high on the mountain. And when he encountered the transfigured Lord, it always transfigures us. When we see God transform ordinary things before our eyes, we can't help but be changed, at least a little bit ourselves. And so, he leaves the comfort now of his family once reunited after all that time away, and enters a monastery, probably on the coast of France. And he's there for a long time. Probably more like 30. And now, when most people would think of retiring, the call comes again. This time, to go back to the place where he'd been a slave as a missionary. So, you'll often hear it said, as though this is news to anywhere, St. Patrick's not from Ireland. Of course he's not. Mother Teresa's not from India. That was the point of her being there. That's what missionaries do. Then he goes back to Ireland, and for the next 30 years, until he dies, he's a very old man, he Christianizes the country. He wanders again those mountains where he lived as a slave. Now he lives there as a freeman. Not because the law has changed, not because there's no man that can lay claim to him for ownership, but because he's been changed from the inside out. When he went as a boy, he was bound up, enslaved to his passions. As the apostle says, his God was his stomach, or for most of us being a little bit overcome. Not so any longer. He's overcome by prayer and penance. He now recognizes the movements of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he's able to discern when it's himself that's trying to get him to do something, and when God is drawing him to himself. And he acts accordingly, and that is contagious. We don't live near big tall mountains, but most of us have a place, a special place, a safe place. Maybe it is physically outside, in the woods, where we go hunting, where we go hiking. Maybe it's walking around Grace Lake. Don't try that today. Maybe it's not outside, maybe it is a holy place inside. Maybe it's this very church, or our immigration channel, or the one in St. Augustine. Maybe it's a place inside your own house. That place where you can go to encounter the Lord, where you can go to be filled, so that, like the apostles, you are then equipped to go back out. The transfiguration happened The best and the worst of our lives are meant to draw us up into the divine life. They're meant to draw us up into God's own living and being and breathing. The very word Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which we have all received, the Spirit which will shortly transform these gifts, and if we let it, transform us as well, that Spirit, like inspiration, it's the breath of God. The breath of God hovering now over you, breathing in and amongst you. We sang that breath in the opening hymn, which comes to us ultimately from St. Patrick. Think about the mountain places of your life. Those high altars on which you can go to encounter the Lord. And think about how you can return to your daily lives transformed, changed. Be different this week than you were last week. Be different after visiting the mountain than you were when you stayed down in the flat. Think about it. Where you stand most in need of transfiguration, of transformation, and ask yourself really, honestly, truly, whether you're willing to be changed the way you need it. Whether you're willing to do the backwork necessary to be open to God's grace so that you too can go to the Holy Mountains. That psalm I talked about, it begins with those words. Give sentence with me, O God. Judge me. St. Patrick begins his biography in this way. I am Patrick. Patrick the Bishop, Patrick the Apostle, but Patrick the Sinner. If you stand ready to approach the mountains today, if you need to present yourself for those gifts transformed, if you want the breath of God to breathe in you, you and I both need to stand ready.